B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
In the Ferrari or Jaguar, switching four lanes, top down, screaming out money ain't a thing.
Bubble hard in the double law, flashing the rims with the window crack, holla back, money ain't a thing.
Jigga, I don't like it if it don't gleam, gleam in the hell with the price, but the money ain't a thing.
Down hard for my dog.
1 o'clock hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. No Zoe, just Beetle and Hardy the rest of the way. And we welcome in from pregame.com and Fox Sports Radio. The man, the myth, the legend. It's RJ Bell from pregame. What's up, RJ?
Hey, boys. Big weekend of football here.
Big weekend. I want to ask you plenty about that, but I want to ask you one question before we get to that. And that is,
did anything
I know that you study a lot of trends and you've got a lot of data at your disposal with all the work at pregame.com. Did anything ever come up during either the playoffs in 2017 or during the season in 2017, or even with the Red Sox in 2018, that ever seemed off about the results of the Red Sox or the Astros or anyone that's accused of stealing signs and cheating in Major League Baseball?
No. And if anything, we did some post-mortem work just in the last day or two with an eye towards home, you know, the home field advantage being more significant. And shockingly, if you look at Houston 17, 18, 19, so three seasons, their home results were worse, you know, with the money line considered. So that takes into account the fact the game's at home and everything. They actually underperformed at home. Now, I'm not saying that in any way disproves any of these accusations. I'm just saying what I expected to find was the, Houston doing inordinately good at home, but that wasn't the case.
Interesting. We all look at that Jose Altuve. I mean, the playoffs in 18, how well he did at home versus how poorly he hit on the road. And, you know, it's just, it's hard to know. Is that an aberration? Is that by mistake? Or is that clearly what everyone thinks they were doing, which is stealing the signs? But that's interesting. It didn't lead to more wins at home.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, I haven't read every report, every element of this. Was the assumption that only a handful of players were involved, or was the assumption that all the players or all the batters would benefit?
Well, this is what we're learning, and I think to varying degrees, you could say that all the batters were benefiting from the sounds, but now with all these reports of electronic devices, and some guys may have been wearing buzzers, and who knows?
And I mean, Altuve is the guy who's accused of most prominently of wearing a buzzer.
And to me, and not to be sanctimonious, or, and I know there's obviously a Boston connection now, but to me, it strikes me you've got to be very hardcore against this. Whereas it, as things are discovered, and again, you can tell I'm not going to be a homer in any case. I'm not sure that if it's discovered that it was done in any kind of widespread way, that you don't look to revoke things. Because to me, if you're cheating, and this is what I said on our national show, and I think it's a strong statement, you got to wonder if the Astros GM and the Astros coach wouldn't still do it even if they knew they were going to get caught. Meaning if the outcome is you're fired from a job, but let's be candid, are they going to have trouble getting their next job? And so you have to sit out a season, and in exchange you get a World Series that you wouldn't have gotten, let's say. Don't most people trade a season as a manager for that World Series?
If you're assuming employment on the other side, they absolutely would.
Yeah.
And if so, is it really a harsh punishment if they would still do it, knowing they would get caught, and they would still do it?
I don't know that they trade that season, because I don't know if these guys are going to get work again, RJ. I really don't. And just before we get to this weekend's games, and not to cast aspersions on your profession, but it has been our belief, at least between me and Beetle, that what happens in these cases doesn't approach what happened with Pete Rose and gambling on games that you were involved with. We think that takes it to a different level. Do you think they're on the same level, or do you think gambling on a game that you're involved with and can influence the outcome of is worse?
Well, first off, always the distinction with Pete Rose was he never bet against his team. Now, what you could say, to defend your position somewhat, what you could say is if half the time or so I'm betting on the team and half the time I'm not, now the question becomes, do I do something different with the bullpen in the games that I've bet?
What does that say to your bookie if you're not going to bet the game that night? Isn't that essentially implying to him, hey, you know, he's trying to send us a signal here that maybe we can – there's all kinds of stuff, yes.
I think that's interesting, too, though. Really, ultimately, if somehow, some way, let's say that there was a manager in baseball who had a bookie he owed something to,
yes,
not from betting but from something else, and every night before the game he spent 5 minutes talking about the game with the guy and gave him as much inside info as he could, but he in no way affected his decisions around that, how egregious is that? Like, getting information to bookies, I get, is not something you want to do, or bettors, false or let's say inside information. But really, that doesn't affect the game. That doesn't affect who wins. That affects betting on the game, but not who wins. And to me, Pete Rose never affected who won a game. And this was directly intended to affect who won the games. And the fact that two out of three of the last world champions have been in the mix of, you know, let's let the Boston thing sit until the reports come out. But isn't it interesting? The rumor is, or at least the reporting is, that Washington knew about this, that the Nationals at least knew, and they really combated it with more advanced signals or whatever else they did, and lo and behold, they win a seven-game series. So you win the seven-game series when you combat it, and then the two prior championships were won, you know, by the team supposedly cheating. Now the question becomes, wow, what kind of difference is there between winning and losing? It's a hair's difference, and maybe that's what swung some of those, or at least one of those titles. And if so, man, isn't that the most egregious cheating you can do that affects who wins the World Series?
As long as you're still trying to win, and I didn't want to go down this road necessarily with you, but it's a good conversation, RJ, especially with you. I think the difference is both teams are still trying to win. And you could argue with Pete Rose or anybody else who's gambling on the game or not gambling on a specific game that he might be tanking one. And that's
why would you ever tank if you never bet against yourself?
Because you're doing it.
You're paying off what you owe to the bookie.
Yeah, you're talking to a bookie. And okay, look, you know these bookies. It's like it's tough to get a little bit pregnant, you know?
Hold on a second, though. That's never been proven that Pete Rose ever.
No, it hasn't. No. It's speculation.
It's a theory.
Okay, and what I'm saying is, yeah, in some hypothetical world, but what they spent a long time with that report trying to, and from what I could see, it wasn't giving Pete Rose any benefit of the doubt. And in the end, they said he bet on his team. And if you're betting on your team, you're trying to win. And you can say all the different things of, and I hear you, of, well, the bookie's knowing if you don't bet, what does that mean? But at no point was he ever trying to lose. He was trying to win. And I'm not saying Pete Rose shouldn't have got a harsh punishment. But if you say betting on your team sometimes and passing sometimes versus cheating to win, to me, the game is affected more by cheating to win.
All right. Well, I think we can disagree on that, but at least
I don't think we do, though. Do we? You think cheating to win is less egregious than betting on your team?
I think there's cheating that goes on in every sport except for golf, unless you're Patrick Reed. That is all done as a means to win. And I think when you introduce gambling into it, I think you can go either side. It's like winning or losing, you know, a little bit of gambling, yet it's not much of a stretch to think like, hey, it's a hell of a lot easier to throw a game than it is to go out there and try and win it.
Last question for me. How do you compare a Barry Bonds to this?
Oh, how do I compare Barry Bonds?
Yeah, let's say, let's say excessive use of PEDs in order to win effectively.
I think this is third down the list.
Okay, so you think someone putting their own physical health at risk in order to perform better and thus win is somehow less or somehow more egregious than cheating with electronics to win.
No, I think
the electronics are worse than the bonds did.
I think gambling is the worst, then okay. Followed by the cheating to win, followed by steroid users.
Okay, fair enough. And effectively, the guys who were proven, or at least supposedly proven to be steroid users, have been effectively banned from baseball.
Sort of. I mean, from the Hall of Fame, yes, but Bonds worked in baseball as a coach.
Yeah. That's an interesting point.
His career continued.
McGuire.
Even A-Rod came back to baseball, and he's still involved in the game.
Yeah.
So. I think, and this is my final word on it, is I think that baseball, with the rolling disclosures, only trying to address what's, are you really telling me that somehow the Washington Nationals knew about this, but, you know, come this most recent World Series, but somehow no one else in the front, the brass of Major League Baseball knew. They knew, and it wasn't going to come out unless it came out.
Something we can absolutely agree on.
We all agree on that.
All right, let's talk football. How are you approaching the weekend? Which game do you like more?
I assuming the lines are the same, because these lines are between 7 and 7.5.
Yep.
I like both favorites, and if you gave me one or the other at 7, I would like that one more. It's that close. Now, if they're both 7.5, I like San Francisco just a little bit more. And the reason being, I'm anti-Green Bay. Green Bay has been outgained on the season, more yards by the opposition than Green Bay. There hasn't been a team since the first Patriots-Brady team to be outgained on the season to even make the Super Bowl. Forget when it even make it. 0-6 since then. In the championship round, straight up, 1-5 against the spread. Green Bay has been outgained by a significant margin this season. San Francisco, excellent at home. Best point differential in the league. Aaron Rodgers is never all that good on the road. I'm not sure how good Aaron Rodgers is in general. 1-32. Where do you guys put Aaron Rodgers right now?
10, 12, something like that?
No, he's higher than that. He's definitely, he's top five in my book.
So yeah, see, I disagree. I'm 10, 12. I'm 10, 12.
Really?
I tell you, I do Doug Gottlieb every week right on Fox, and Doug usually is pretty low-key. He was screaming. He wouldn't let me talk. He was saying he thought Aaron Rodgers was better than Russell Wilson.
No.
Aaron Rodgers was better than Lamar Jackson. It was like kind of crazy talk, I thought. The guy statistically hasn't been in the top half of the league in QBR. This year, no. Last year, no. Year before, no. Literally, it's been 4 years since he's been even in the top half of the league with QBR. I mean, this guy's living on a reputation, and he can make that amazing throw now and again.
Yes, he can.
That's the scary thing.
It is scary, but it doesn't make you a good quarterback. The guy is borderline average at this point. I know it sounds crazy.
It does sound
a little crazy.
It doesn't make you a good gambler either, RJ, because we know scared money never wins. Words to live by. But let me ask you something. I'm a little scared about betting against the Titans, because they weren't supposed to beat the Patriots. They weren't supposed to beat the Ravens.
And here they are.
Don't you give them a little bit of credit and say, wow, a whole touchdown you're willing to give up?
No, I hear you. And here's why I'm not as much. One is that in hindsight, the Ravens were built defensively. Remember, they weren't a very good defense. And then Jimmy Smith came back and they traded for Peters. And lo and behold, they became this really good D, supposedly. I was skeptical of that, but it certainly wasn't front seven based, right? It was more about their abilities with their D-backs. And what did we see? Tennessee said, I don't care about that. Jimmy Smith, is he going to tackle Derrick Henry? Is Peters? That's the question. I look at Kansas City, and not that I think they have a great rush D, because they don't, but I think that this defense, since their bye, has been the eighth best defense based upon DVOA. And if that's true, if Kansas City has the eighth best D, they have the best offense, right? So eighth best offense or best offense, eighth best defense, that's an all-time type team right there, because you don't see that very often. I also think Henry, 30-plus carries, 3 straight games. Boom, boom, boom. Last time someone's done that has been over 10 years ago. Now it's a 4th straight game. Now, I believe it's even more straining the fact that there are three of these are going to be playoff games, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like literally, you know, week 17, which there's no reason he ran the ball as much as he did other than the vanity of winning the rushing title. That was Vrabel's decision, all right, whatever. But then playoff game, that leads to fatigue. Those are high-impact games. Now you add in that it's road, 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 and now road. Man, it's almost the most perfect storm I've ever seen for a running back fatigue. 30-plus carries, four straight road games now, and the last three being playoff games. So I hear you, but if Tennessee were all that good to start with, we're going to say, well, after Tannehill, they were. Do you know how many yards they've thrown for Tennessee in the last 2 weeks? 160 yards.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't blow you away.
It's not good.
Not 160 per week. 80.
It's lower than you'd expect, sure, for a team that's won two playoff games. I get it. But they can't stop Derrick Henry.
And if that ends up still being the case, fine. You got it. By the way, the over-under to bet yards for Henry is only about 110. So if you believe that's, if you believe it's Henry, 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 then there's a better way to get at it than plus seven. Just bet Henry over 110. And what's interesting is you can bet the over under on his carries, 22. Now that blows my mind. It really
that feels low.
Say it again.
That feels low to me. I would take the over on that.
Yeah, that's what I think too. And that tells me Vegas is telling us something with that. Last thing on the game. I do think it's interesting if you go back and we actually found 22 to be the number to find guys that carried the ball 22, 22, or 22 just because we wanted to have about 15 people in the sample size. And last 5 years, there's been about 15 people. It's gone 22 plus three straight games. The fourth game at running back doing that, minus a half yard per carry relative to their season average. So it shows you if you have this kind of load game after game after game, come game four, you suffer significantly.
Interesting. Okay, something to watch and keep an eye on. RJ, thank you as always for the time. We really appreciate it.
We can do like a Bob Costas thing in the off season and scream back and forth about baseball.
We absolutely can.
I tell you what, it'd be good. It'd be fun. Thanks, RJ.
Thanks, RJ. Catch RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas and, of course, at pregame.com and on Fox Sports Radio. 617-779-0985. We can get back to your calls coming up right after this.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Calls on everything from the day this Friday. Friday afternoon here on Zolak and Bertrand. Zoe has departed. Beetle and Hardy with you the rest of the way. Fake promos at 150. George is in Peabody today. Hi, George.
Yes, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, George.
What's going to happen with the Red Sox? What are they going to do? Those are going to hire.
I don't know who they're going to hire. I really don't. My question is, how long is it going to take?
I mean, yeah, I know. Spring training's not that far away. It's only 5 weeks away.
You got somebody in mind, George?
I just see maybe Jason Veritek.
Yeah, I think that's the popular pick because that's the guy that most people are familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, you know him, and he was, you know, talked about as a possible managerial candidate while he was playing. You know, oh, here's a guy who could, you know, be a skipper one day. He seems to have a good command of everything. You know, former catcher, everything about him makes sense. I don't know that it would be a long-term solution, but you need somebody. It's not 5 weeks. pitchers and catchers report in less than 4 weeks. I believe 3 weeks from Tuesday is when pitchers and catchers report. You need somebody. How long do you give them, Beetle? Give the Red Sox a deadline for hiring a manager. 10 days?
No. I say you get 3 weeks.
So you can let pitchers and catchers report just to guys that you have on staff. What if those guys aren't going to be part of the staff once the new manager comes?
What's the date of pitchers and catchers reporting? Do we have the date?
Yeah, it's coming up 3 weeks from Tuesday. It was 4 weeks from this last Tuesday.
I looked Truck Day's the day after the Super Bowl.
Oh, man, that would be sort of tight. All right, you got like 2 weeks.
10 days.
2 weeks. You got till the Friday, the final day of January, 31st.
Truck Day, right? Sometime before Truck Day?
When's Truck Day?
The day after the Super Bowl, that Monday.
Okay, yeah, you
got
to do it before Truck Day. Because you got to put the manager on the truck, and you got to get him there. So
can we turn all that around for a host not listening? I said three times when pitchers and catchers report, and then you told him when Truck Day was. He asked me when pitchers and catchers report, and then you asked when Truck Day was.
I'm looking at the calendar. Okay.
I love the silhouetted TV graphic here.
Isn't that El Abusador? Are we hiring?
Yes,
Are we hiring El Abusador as the Red Sox next skipper? Is that what we're doing?
That's what the next skipper is going to look like?
Yeah, El Abusador.
Very familiar.
Joe from Reservoir Dogs. That's who it's going to be.
I think that's a silhouette of me from a number of years ago.
It is.
Yeah. Oh. Yes. Can tell from the glasses that stick out on one side of the head. I haven't worn glasses in what, 6-7 years? It's been a long time.
Spectacle beetle.
Spectacled. Tom's in Londonderry. Hey, Tom.
Hey, boys. How you doing today?
Good.
I was going to call and gloat again. I called a few times about the Jimmy G trade, and Beetle, I think you know my take on it. I think Hardy was off the last few times I called, saying, I think it's still going to be the worst mistake that the Patriots have ever made, at least under the Kraft ownership. Instead of being that kind of a jerk and becoming the next Carlton in Tampa or Norwood, wherever the hell Carlton's from. Noel, excuse me, wherever the hell he's from. But at the risk of becoming the next Carlton and obsessing over something like this, do you guys think that my take of the trade being the worst mistake ever for the Patriots has much more validation if the 49ers go out and win the Super Bowl this year? I'll just hang up and listen to you guys.
Okay, if they win the Super Bowl, will they somehow be valid? Will that take be validated?
Your
take will be much improved.
So far, that would have gotten you the same number of Super Bowls that you had by keeping Tom Brady. So I would say it's kind of an even money take at that point.
And I would say that, unfortunately, Jimmy G is going to have to win a boatload before you get me to agree with that. I just don't think I'll ever agree with that, because when you traded away Jimmy Garoppolo, was your expectation that Jimmy Garoppolo would go elsewhere and win multiple Super Bowls?
Well,
it wasn't mine.
He'll say
so.
Yeah.
I didn't have any issue at the time. It's sort of against the rules of hot takes to then change the take later on and say, oh, now with hindsight, they were wrong. I've never thought they were wrong for doing it, so I'm probably not going to change my mind.
I didn't think they were wrong for doing it by virtue of the fact that you went to the Super Bowl the year that you traded him. You've won a Super Bowl since you traded him, and Tom Brady. Now, you could say this is virtue of not having Jimmy Garoppolo here, but what were you going to do? Continue to franchise him year after year and pay a guy $25 million to not play? You were suffering from an embarrassment of riches at quarterback if you think Jimmy Garoppolo is all that good, and you had to make a decision. They went with the guy that took them to a Super Bowl and then took them to another one and won that Super Bowl. To me, it's never going to be the wrong decision. It might be unfortunate that you weren't able to hang on to him and play him as your quarterback for the next 10 years, but the guy didn't even play his first full season because he got hurt. It's way too early to take a victory lap on it. And I'm not going to change my opinion. I mean, if he wins 5 rings, great. You couldn't keep him. It wasn't a question of wanting to. The only way you were going to do it was by trading Tom Brady, and you're not going to convince me ever that that would have been the right thing to do at the time.
Let's go to Chris, who's in the car. Chris, you got an idea of who the manager should be?
Well, I was thinking Gabe Kapler.
Isn't he employed? He got another job, didn't he?
Giants.
Yeah, he's with the Giants now.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
When did they hire him?
A couple months ago. What was the date on that? He's now employed. Yeah, he's working for the Giants.
I like Gabe. I think Gabe's a good guy. I think the next manager has to be as close to squeaky clean as you can find. And Gabe Kapler was a physical specimen. I don't know that you could not say anything about sign stealing or anything else. I'm talking about a guy who's got a squeaky clean resume, never ran afoul of any rules or protocol for Major League Baseball under any of their policies. And as good a guy as Kapler is, I don't know if he's the right guy for this job.
And he's employed, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
He was about 500 in Philly. 80 and 82 and 81 and 81 next year. Not horrible, just not good. Let's go to Hardy with headlines. We got one more segment. I see your phone's waiting, so we will get to you. And, of course, the takeaways, the fake promos at 150.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand. And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Pitchers and catchers report in less than 4 weeks. I believe 3 weeks from Tuesday is when pitchers and catchers report. How long do you give them, Beetle?
I say you get 3 weeks.
So you can let pitchers and catchers report just to guys that you have on staff. What if those guys aren't going to be part of the staff once the new manager comes in?
What's the date of pitchers and catchers reporting?
Yeah, it's coming up 3 weeks from Tuesday. I looked
Truck Day is the day after the Super Bowl.
All right, you got like 2 weeks.
10 days.
Before Truck Day, right? Sometime before Truck Day?
When's Truck Day?
This has been How to Tell When the Hosts Aren't Listening.
That's one of my favorite ones ever.
Truck Day is day after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but when's Truck Day? Back to back. Oh, God.
It's like Zoe never left.
Paul's in Braintree today. He's got a name for Red Sox manager.
By the way, Zoe's going to be so pissed he missed today's fake promos.
He is?
We got some Lulus.
Some right.
Real humdingers.
10 minutes from now, Paul in Braintree.
Right, you ready?
Yeah, give it to us.
You ready? Yeah, I think that John Henry should get his plane, go find Mike Lowell, put him in a uniform, put his right leg on the top step of the dugout, and leave him there for the next 5 years. And by the way, thanks for helping me out last week by paying my mortgage. Have a nice day.
Oh, nice. Attaboy. Attaboy. By the way, someone tweeted us a picture of them putting, what was it, $100 down on it? And they cashed big on the parlay last week.
Yes, they did.
Way to go, Paul. It's a little bit more manageable when we do fewer picks. But to his point about Mike Lowell, I take Mike Lowell as a name just as much as I do Jason Varitek. If you're going to go that route, guys who don't have any experience, sure, I'd take Mike Lowell. I like Mike Lowell a lot. Mike Lowell also checks the box of being bilingual and being able to communicate more clearly with the entire roster. And as a guy who can sort of bridge any gaps that there are in language, there's no language barriers with Mike Lowell. So that's a win for him. Mike Lowell, 45 years old. Wow, that's crazy to think he's 45. Like, he just feels like he was just playing.
Do you know Christopher Smith from Mass Live?
I do, yes. Very good reporter. Fan of the show as well.
Oh, he wrote, out of all the candidates, he listed these three together. Mike Lowell, Jason Varitek, Dustin Pedroia. So Varitek and Pedroia have been mentioned repeatedly on social media. Highly unlikely Pedroia is a candidate. I agree with him.
Good.
Varitek, special assistant, the Red Sox might have the right personality to be a player's manager in today's game. That said, he does work with catchers and pitchers during spring training. Varitek has an especially strong relationship with Blake Swihart. Lowell is probably the best candidate of the three. He has the personality to manage in a tough market like Boston.
I'm with him on that. I like Mike Lowell. He could certainly handle it. He's been doing media stuff, so it wouldn't be different than, let's say, what's happened in New York, where and Alex Cora to a degree, but Alex Cora has always sort of been doing a little on-field stuff with like the Caribbean World Series down there. But Mike Lowell has done MLB Network stuff,
Mike,
right?
And since he must retiring. Have given some thought to managing or coaching or something at this point. But if he hasn't, could you imagine just getting up and saying, I know you're enjoying doing, you know, media and everything, but how'd you like to come to work every day again for actually longer than you did as a player? It's a much longer day now. You don't have to play anymore. That's good news. Bad news is you're not going to make a ton of money, and it's a real job. You want it? I don't know. I haven't really, if he hasn't thought about it, it's a big ask. And you have to convince somebody quickly. 10 days. That's the magic number.
14.
Well, when's truck day?
I think it's the day after the Super Bowl, they tell
when
me.
When do pitchers and catchers report?
3 weeks from Tuesday.
Okay. You got 10 days.
Let's go to Coach in Maine. Coach.
How you doing? Hey, listen, love your show. Thank you. I got an idea for you. Excuse me, as far as the manager to replace Cora, and that is, how about Brian Butterfield?
Mm, you know he likes the Patriots. He's a big Patriots fan, too.
See, I'm a Mainer. So he's from Maine.
So is he, just, yeah.
Yeah, he lives like a couple towns over.
Yeah.
And
yeah, no.
But he's from Maine. He lives a couple towns over from Coach. Lean out your front door and wave. Hey, Brian. Coach.
Butters. No.
What's wrong with Butterfield?
I don't know that I could stand to listen to all the local beat guys and reporters that cover the team.
Oh, you think they'd mention
tell
the fact
me
you think
about how Butters is a Patriots fan? And I also don't know that I've ever seen more excuse making for a guy than they did for Brian Butterfield when he was here. You know my grievances on the Brian Butterfield front. No. I don't believe he's going to get consideration.
You got to get him out of L.A.
You think the Dodgers are going to grant that interview request?
It's the Angels.
Oh, he's with the Angels?
Yes.
Is that where he is now?
Third base coach.
Yeah. Well, he can stay there. I think that's a good spot for him. Not so much third base coach, not so much third base, but in terms of geography, I'd much rather he be coaching in Anaheim than in Boston. I know you got to take a cross-country flight to get home.
I think you think too lowly of the local writers here. I don't think they would play up the local angle.
Oh, no? I can catalog a number of stories they wrote about his Patriots fandom.
Stop.
You know he's from here? You know he's a local guy? You know he's one of us? Wonderful. Here's one more before we get to the takeaways. David in Medfield has a good name, too. Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I got one for you. This hasn't popped up yet, but it's along the same field as Mike Lowell. Carlos Pena, because he's a local kid, MLB, and he's done the MLB stuff, media friendly, and he has Tampa Bay connections. So I don't know if Chaim Bloom was there when Pena was there. Anyway, that's my take.
I'm not sure. I'd have to look that up. What his timeline was, but yeah, he's someone that I think could be a name, as much so as, again, Jason Varitek or Mike Lowell or guys that you're just going to throw right into the fire and say take it over. I don't think Pena's name is any different than those names. He's also been sort of involved in baseball. You know, he did Nesson broadcasts a few times a couple of years ago. He was doing some MLB Network stuff at some point as well.
Featured on a season 7 episode of Impractical Jokers.
Not a bad show.
So many hijinks, you know?
The hijinks. Mm-hmm.
The tomfoolery on that show. And if that could translate into a
loose clubhouse.
Keep it a loose. Come on. A little hot foot, huh? Whoopee cushion.
The promos, the fake promos, that is. Those are coming up next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give. We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, today's takeaway is brought to you by Wagon 180 Weight Loss. Reserve a January consultation today.
I can't do it. Call or go online to awaken180weightloss.com and make 2020 the last time losing weight is your New Year's resolution.
Ready for the promos?
Oh, I'm ready. I don't know if you're ready. I don't know if you're ready for this, Jelly. These promos are too bootylicious for you, Beetle. We got some good ones.
Okay.
Here we go.
Let's do it. Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
J.J. Cool. How old is J.J. Cool today?
Who's J.J. Cool?
You don't know? He's a rapper slash actor.
I think you mean LL Cool J.
Cool J? Sorry.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5.
It's unbelievable when people get something completely wrong and then they're chastising others for not knowing. Oh, you don't know who Mr. J.J. Cool is? What?
You're telling me that Dan has never heard of LL Cool J?
Maybe he has, but it's not a name that I think he could come up with off the top of his head. That's what I think.
That one bothered me.
Yeah.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Do we have any proof that a game was lost because of the signal calling? Like, we see the bats, we heard the horns.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Actually, games and scores and outcomes do matter a little bit. Like in the 2017 World Series, I'd say those outcomes did matter.
But it matters more to him that he got fingered.
Yes,
I'm sure.
That's the most important part.
That would matter to me more.
Hello.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
You like crawfish?
Love crawfish.
It's just sort of a messy
it's
eat,
a work,
isn't it?
But
it's a lot of work.
You know what the best part of it is? Sucking the head.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We're just going to leave that as is.
You don't want to expand.
You do
on
what
that?
You want with that.
Nope.
You do what you want there.
Okay.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
You can look cool slapping the bass, you know?
Is that what you call it?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
That's us tightening up?
Yeah. That's a slap in the face.
No, that's us doing the clapping. And
oh, sorry. Up. Sorry. Yes, that's right. You know what reminds me of, Beetle? Certain scene from The Sopranos. I know you rewatched the entire series recently when Tony has the job in the waste management. You know, he sits in the office and he has the very religious secretary. You remember that scene?
No.
We'll talk about it off the air. All right, moving on.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
You need to find other interests, Ken, and you're a man who's already well-rounded.
I'm trying to focus on, like, who's going to win the Turkish Super League there, Beşiktaş or Galatasaray or yep. Fenerbahçe.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
What? I never know what he's talking about.
Well, I just assumed that it was something to do with racing, but apparently that's football.
Soccer.
It is.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
He's very caught up in that. He's captivated.
Yeah. He wasn't making that up.
No, he wasn't.
No, it was real. But that wasn't the best Ken and Lowell moment.
Oh, God.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Hey, Ken, quickly, did anyone buy the copper kettle yet?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
And they don't speak English, and we're going to be watching Mexican soccer.
Oh.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yes.
Yes.
The sound of just bitter disappointment in his voice.
And even so was,
no.
Yes.
No. Oh, he's so mad.
Yes.
So I was like, uh-oh. As soon as he said they don't speak English, I was like, stop. No, don't do it, Ken. Whatever you're about to say, don't say it. Oh.
Ken Inlow.
It's the best.
He is a legend. Wow.
Oh. Whoa.
By the way, I just saw Jess Mendoza is going to get kicked off ESPN.
How about that?
On Sunday nights because she came out and was upset with Mike Fiers this week. Blame the whistleblower. That always works.
Didn't want it to become public. Thought it was bad that the whole thing got out.
Yeah. Well, you can keep advising baseball teams that doesn't right. sound like they're going to want you on ESPN anymore. Wow. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Right. We'll be back with you next week after the holiday. Enjoy a long weekend.
You got it.
Felger Maz next.
Yeah.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome to the program. Sorry for the late start. A little late wipe down situation there. Maz Murray, how you guys doing?
Good, you?
Good.
Just peachy. Thank you so much. A Friday here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And Felger Maz means it's agenda free. And it's driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. We give opening takes while you load up the phones, and then we go to you. It's that simple. It's agenda free because you set the